at board meetings. Do we have to do it for our annual members meeting too?
Well, that's when you affirm all that.
I don't know. Somebody want to take minutes?
Thank you, Joe. Thank you.
Yeah, it's better to do that. Nonprofits have.
We should make you do it.
That's how some things are handled, right?
I'm a member of another nonprofit, so we had.
Yeah, I think you're right, and it's.
I think it's a good idea, Phil. Yeah. Thank you so much, Joan. Okay, so we have a little bit of a plan outlined. I'll just say one or two more quick things. So in recent years, as folks know, we've formed a board of directors, which is now about 10 years old. And the board has been working on some of the things listed there. And then we've had the spontaneous arising of energies such as Marcia's contribution to the Family and Children's Program and numerous others contributing to the experiences that we all enjoy together. We're not attempting to list every single thing in this little list of commas here that the Right Way Zen's been working on, but these are some of them. And one of the things that we talk a lot about in the board is our strategic plan and how's it doing? Are we on track? One of the objectives of that strategic plan that I'm just going to nod to and pay attention to for a moment that Jinru will talk more about or enjoy and ask others to talk about is this objective to be able to pay Domio and an assistant teacher for all of their time as opposed to a portion of their time, which is about we're paying for a small portion of Domio's total contribution to the Zendo. So one of our objectives is to be able to cover all of those costs, as well as other costs that are incurred in creating this space, this building, keeping a lease, et cetera. And that means some growth would be necessary over time in our membership to get to that point. And here's what I'm calling out as a point of perhaps some concern or controversy that I personally and other members of the board have heard inklings of from folks or maybe came up a little bit at the last Teachers Advisory Council, and that is maybe concern about growth. Maybe concern that growth is antithetical to what one thought one could experience in a place like this. I don't know. Maybe a concern that growth could go awry or that we could drift away from certain things that have been precious to us about this place. I think I shared at a prior meeting. It was a concern I had at one point in my prior involvement with Bright Way Zen going back to 2009, where I thought we were getting too big and that something would change and I would lose some kind of experience. So I can relate to that. So that may be a concern people have. If so, I would encourage someone to bring it up and see what, you know, share what it means to you. And maybe we can help each other with that. So with that, I'll end my introductory comments and invite Domio to say a few words about the financial update.
All looking forward to this, I'm sure. And I'm not sure, are you going to be talking about the strategic plan more? Because we could point people toward this.
Yeah, I thought that was my topic.
Okay, I'll mention those when that happens then. Okay, so what do we do with your money, and what are our costs? So I didn't make a whole bunch of handouts. I only made a few. So if you want your eyes on it, these will just be passed around. And actually, my financial report is on the back of your membership report as well. So you just need one of those back at some point. So I will pass these along. And just hold on to it if you want to for the moment, and then you can track along. So I'm just going to do a brief budget report for this year, but then I'm going to give you a kind of a larger sense of what does our what does our annual budget look like, and what do we spend it on, and where does our money come from? The gist is, as of the end of September, so that was three quarters of the year that we were on track with this year's budget. We spent more than we thought. We made more than we thought. There's certain things that happen that you end up spending more money on, and then you make more money on them, like the fundraiser. You spend more money the more people that come, but then the more people that come, the more money you make. And it's the same with Session, our out-of-town retreat. So the costs, the income should match the costs at least. So then we should end up at the end of this year with somewhere around $4,500 in the black. So I form the budgets, and I tend to do it quite conservatively. Our income grows a little bit each year. And so I just kind of project that. And then if it grows more than expected, that's just great. That's just gravy. As of today, our bank account has $19,500 in it. That is the savings over the last 10 years. So that was not, all brought about this year. But it's nice to have a little bit. Well, the board is also going to be talking about that as to how much money we should have in case something happened, like we lost use of this building and we had to rent a much more expensive place or something like that. So you want a contingency fund. So we're going to be working on that. So in terms of our general annual budget, so like this year, you're probably going to have income of around $52,000. About $44,000 of that will come from contributions. And I do have the budget with me if anybody's interested in the details. I think about $4,000 or $5,000 of that will have come from fundraising, from the fundraiser, from, end of year requests and stuff like that. The rest comes from just monthly pledges and the donation box. It's mostly monthly pledges. And then about $8,000 from other sources. So those are our programs, our retreats, our session, sale of books, stuff like that. So a lot of that was income for a session, and the session cost just about as much as we took in. So it's kind of a break-even deal. And then in terms of our expenses, our largest expense is rent. We pay $1,550 a month, but that does include our utilities. So that's $18,600 a year, and it will go up in mid-2021 just by like $50. And that's a very reasonable rent for the use of space that we have. My salary is at currently $12,000 a year. Session is around $8,000. We have an administrative support person who does our newsletter and a few other tasks, and so that's about $3,600 for the year. Our fundraiser and development, including new member packets that we give to people when they become members now, we send them a book and we send them a welcome packet. That's about $2,200 a year. And then everything else, membership and accounting software, advertising, office and consumable supplies, meditation equipment, insurance, website, and then transaction fees with PayPal and stuff, that's about $2,600. So that is about $47,000 in expenses. So that's, then you have the net of about $4,000 or $5,000. Any questions? All right.
Do you want questions regarding this folder?
No, just about the budget and financial stuff right now.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I heard it or if I'm just making it up, but the compensation that you have is about half of your time?
It is Well, as Jinru pointed out recently, like, I've been counting my podcast stuff as separate, but really the podcast stuff is also like Zen research, which then I use in teaching and whatever. So I'm approach full time. I mean, at least like 30 hours a week, probably. And so I think I figured the 12,000 was paying for about 10 or 12 hours a week. So.
But then the podcast has its own income.
It does have a little bit of its own income. Separate. Yeah. Yeah, that's separate. So I do make a little money off of that, but.
What kind of insurance do we carry?
We get, I don't know, it's liability and all that. It's from through a company called Church Mutual. $400 a year, and we're covered for all kinds of, you know, if I abuse anybody, you know, that kind of stuff. Injuries and our property if something happens. So it is, and I think maybe it's because they, you know, insure churches, and that's a pretty safe. Well, that's true. Yeah, I don't know, but. It's all, the cost is based on your square footage. So we're pretty small potatoes compared to a lot of churches.
So can you net out how much, what percent of our budget is rent? Just as a magical quip, or can you
see? 18,600 versus, compared to 47,000? Math whizzes?
Total expense is 40, so it's a little less than that.
Rent is a little less than half. And how much is salary?
Less than half.
Less than a
third.
Just check 25%.
47,000. 47. So the rent is about 38% of our budget. All right. Any other questions before we move on? Yeah.
How long is our lease if the increase is in 2021?
We have it through June 30th, 20.
That came from that side.
I forget if it's just through the end of June 2020 or is it June 2021?
Yes, they both are right.
Yeah, it's the 2021.
I think we did. I mean, to think of us only being 6 months out seems very short. Yeah. I think we renewed it through
2021.
Yeah. So through end of June 2021.
Is the landlord having plans for this land here?
It's all kind of a mystery to us. Apparently not. Honestly, I think it's a total speculation on my part, but I think what the landlord primarily does is, well, maybe I shouldn't say this out loud. I don't know. I think it's a tax write-off. I think they have, you know, their business supposedly here, and so I don't know.
They may be living in an area where they can't actually be running their business from.
Correct.
And therefore, this is their business.
So they talked about at some point maybe building a pole barn to park their trucks in, but they've been very interested in keeping us, so they've been very easy to work with and accommodating, and they've made some investments in this building, including hooking up plumbing to the city and adding the heat pump. So it certainly, I mean, it looks to me like a property you just flip and sell to a developer, but that doesn't look like what they're doing.
What's their company name,
and
what do they do?
They're an arborist. There's a sign out. That's their sign outside. Badger Tree Service.
They just, because it's rental property too, they take depreciation. So there's advantages of building this building.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever asked about doing the garden, the Zen garden?
No. Oh, all right. We could now talk to them about that. I mean, they often come and do the landscaping themselves. So I don't think they'd mind.
It would be lovely to have her out doing meditation space.
All right. On to strategic plan.
And this is a brochure that we have on the strategic plan?
Yes, there's only 12 copies because we didn't plan. anybody want to see the financials?
Do you know when that the brochure was created?
Created?
Mm-hmm. I mean, has this been around a while? I haven't.
This is up to date. This is what we handed out at the teacher's advisory.
Okay. Okay. Well, I am going to talk about the strategic plan, and mostly as it relates to what has happened since we first introduced it. We gave the people who came to the Teachers Advisory Council in July a sneak peek, and then we formally launched it through the newsletter.
Can I just say, just for people who don't know what the Teachers Advisory Council is, that's people, that's active members who have also taken Jukai. So it's kind of a subset of the Sangha, which I ask to meet a couple times a year to advise me. So it's the advise the teacher opportunity. Mm-hmm. So it helps, you know, bounce ideas and get some advice from the teachers.
And so a lot of the people who have leadership roles in various areas of the strategic plan wrote articles for the newsletter to describe what they were going to be doing related to the plan. And so I'm not going to go through any of that in a broad sense, but we will dive in specifically as to what's new. And as a reminder, if you don't remember any of those articles or don't remember seeing it in the newsletter, we have three major goals. The first goal is to deepen member engagement. The second goal is to share the Dharma with more people. And the third goal is to build Sangha resources. So under the first goal, and I am being the primary speaker here, there are the advocates of these various programs are here in case there are questions, but in the interest of time, I was elected to be the speaker. The first goal, deepening member engagement, Myoju has a very important role related to acting as a steward for members. And since the plan was introduced, we've had our annual picnic at Myoju's house in August, and it was just wonderful. And we continue to provide welcome packets to people who become new members, and I have one here. And what you get in a welcome packet is a very nice letter from Domio. Is the letter from Domio?
No, from me.
Oh. You get a Brightway Zen bookmark.
A signed copy of Domio's book.
A signed copy of Domio's book. Raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass you if you have not read Domio's book.
Which of Domio's books are you?
This one.
Which is that one?
This one.
Zen Living.
Okay.
It really is the best book on Zen I've ever read. Really. I mean, it just talks about everything that we do here. So I highly recommend it.
But the one you can buy.
Yes, it's the one you can buy. But if you become a member, you get a new one free. And then we have information on her podcasts, the precepts, etc. So every new member, can you put that in there? Thank you. Mark is my assistant. Every new member gets a member packet like that. The other thing that Myoju did since the introduction of the strategic plan is she really helped kickstart some support for one of our members, Frankie, who hurt herself pretty badly and had to have surgery all at the same time that she was moving. So that really helped the Sangha gather to provide her with support in the way of meals and helping her to pack things up and move. And she was really very moved by that. She was very emotionally taken by the support she got. Also, in deepening member engagement, I have the responsibility of building a culture of gratitude. And so I have introduced the fact that everyone can take a thank you note if they like and thank somebody. Bob, where's Bob? Did you see something on the bulletin board tonight?
I did. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
I was touched.
And I was touched also because somebody sent me a thank you note. So we have kind of casual with silver letters. We have floral, four different types of floral. And we have very formal. These are the ones I love. Bright Ways In. Bright Ways In. And as I mentioned once when I announced these, I had an executive coach once who helped me a lot, and she kind of watched what was going on in my life after she and I worked together. And she sent me one like this every time something significant happened. And all she wrote on it was, great job on so-and-so, way to go. And it was just the most wonderful thing to get something like that in the mail. So what I'm suggesting, these are can be found right on top of the lockers in this red box. And what I'm suggesting is that you can tack it to the bulletin board. You can have somebody hand them out. Or you can actually get their address and maybe even their last name off the members directory online and then send it to them in the mail any way you want to do it. I just don't think that how you receive it is not the big deal. It's the fact that you took the time to write down what somebody meant to you on a particular action or function. Again, in deepening member engagement, we have a really big part of the program, which is Marcia's children's program. And if you guys haven't heard about this, I'm going to give you some highlights. I encourage you either to ask questions or maybe talk to Marcia after. It's very impressive what she has done for Bright Ways In, really. I mean, she's done this for Bright Ways In. It is really getting us out there and fulfilling some of the things we're trying to accomplish in the strategic plan. She has a class every Wednesday morning on mindfulness with children and their parents. It has grown from 35 members to now about 50, and it's advertised on Meetup. No, that's how many members they have. The average attendance is around 8 on a regular basis, but they have had to move from the children's room out into the space outside of it because they've had too many people at times. And, you know, we talk about the fact that we may have to move. I mean, here's an indication that we're starting to grow out of this place. So just saying. The parents have been very interested in the tools that she used. She has breathing balls. She has meditation cushions for kids. And so she's working up a little fundraiser idea, not quite ready for launch yet, maybe.
Oh, it's done?
You want to talk about it?
Well, just the parents are just interested in some of the tools that we use, like the cushions that you see in the playroom, the colorful ones and the breathing balls. So I have a little package made up that at cost with $5 extra to go to the Zen Center. So I've sold 3 so far, and we're still seeing as new people come in, they're interested in having, you know, having the same thing in their home as we do here in the classroom.
It's a breathing ball. Should I show them?
I think we better demonstrate.
Yeah.
It's really brilliant because you tell a preschooler to follow their breath. That's a very challenging for adults.
Yeah. As evidence, Jill's three girls automatically do it. And if they're a little bit stressed, they get a breathing ball.
Where'd you get anything with them?
Oh, where I did everything on Amazon. Okay, so I use very little words because these are preschool children and they're starting, they just come in, they sit in their cushion and we go like this. And these children miraculously do this and they're quiet and you can see them calming down as we're sitting there. You can see the parents calming down. They're much more agitated than the children. And that's how we start the class. And then after that, we do our introductory circle and have a lot of other activities and everything. But this is one of the things we're selling, the breathing ball. And you've seen those colorful cushions that we have, right? But, mm-hmm. Yeah, so and with the cushion. Okay. You want to try?
Breathing balls on Amazon? What do they call them on Amazon?
Breathing balls.
I don't know what the Amazon came up with.
Amazon.
Mm-hmm. They're for adaptive education for like kids with
attention deficit.
Yeah, and Asperger's, autism.
For everything.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marcia. And just wrapping up what Marcia has done, there's also the Sunday program for children, which has MARTA is really in the lead now in terms of taking care of those activities. And we've typically been between 6 and 8 children on a regular basis. So that has grown as well.
And Janelle comes as the assistant teacher on Sundays also now, just to say thank you for doing that.
Right.
So that's it. Those are the kinds of things.
That. I want to thank everybody who's offered to be a Sangha Mitra to a new member. I keep sending out emails asking people, and some of you have replied, even though you have many things to do. And it really helps the new members, because I've heard from a lot of new people how useful it is to meet them. And I'm really, I don't know your names, I don't know who's doing what, but lately, yesterday, Pam signed up to welcome Linda, right?
Cool.
Yeah. So it's just like...
Can you explain what it is?
What's that?
Can you explain what it is?
Well, the Sangha Mitra program, Sangha Mitra is a Pali word that means spiritual friend, Sangha friend. And in the membership brochure, you'll see that there's a quotation from the Buddha who... he was asked by Kalama, I think. Having a Sangha just the part of the spiritual life? And the Buddha replied, no, Kalama. Having a Sangha Mitra, a Sangha friend, is the whole of the spiritual life. So that's how important it is to have a friend that shares the same kind of questions that brought you to this place. Because you can make friends outside and it's just different, but here, it's just like it's the quest for the Dharma and the love for the Dharma that you can share, and I think that's really valuable. So I want to thank everybody, and Malte is looking for more people, so I'll be sending out more emails, and if you're welcome, because I have 4 or 5 people that still are not with our Sangha, and I have 3. So I
these people are going to actually become members.
Right, when they become members, then you sell them a package and they find them a friend. So they have a question about, do I bow every time I see? Somebody asked me, Jill, I think, do I bow every time I see? Don't you? I said, so just like things like that, to make them feel comfortable. So I think, thanks, and I'm going to be sending out more requests.
And another piece of that, which is important, is... just hoping to keep track of one another.
Right.
Because one of the saddest things is when, you're part of a community and you've invested in it and you feel like you're really part of it, and then something happens to you and you don't show up and nobody calls. Nobody tries to contact you. And that is can be really devastating. But it's also an easy thing to allow to happen, right? Because we come here and we see each other, and then we're like, where's, you know, it takes us a while to even track the absence of someone. And so this is hopefully will form more of those, you know, more relationships, so that it's more likely that somebody is going to be noticed if something's up with them or that they're missing, and then actually have somebody that they know who could call up, you know.
Yeah, like,
have you ever thought of a directory?
Well, we have an online directory.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, I talked to somebody that I haven't seen in a while. She's new, but I haven't seen her, and I kept thinking, where's Claudia, you know, because she seemed really enthusiastic in the beginning. And I emailed her 2 days ago, and she said she's laid up in bed. And it was so wonderful to hear her gratitude. You know, I'm so excited to hear from you. And yeah. I said, well, I'll come see you if you want, you know. And so just it means a lot to people to think that someone has been thinking about them when they're not here. So,
do you send the invitation to all the members?
The older, so if you have to have been at Brightway for more than a year to qualify as someone that can show the ropes to a new person.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've sent it to, I think, I don't recall.
I would have volunteered for
that.
Oh, but, well, but I don't. I mean, I just wondered if it was just to certain people or
not. No.
I got one tomorrow.
You just
for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can have more than one.
It's not a high maintenance thing. Especially like some people, they don't show up for a while, like, you know, then you don't know what to do. So then just show up, ask me, and I'll. There's always people waiting to become, to have a buddy.
How are we doing on time?
We're running a little long, but I contributed to that too.
So that is the first goal, which was deepen member engagement. The second and third are really fast, so don't worry about it. The second goal is sharing the Dharma with more people. Shoketsu is responsible for one aspect of that, which is diversity, equity, and inclusion. And in her article, she talked about the kinds of things she had in mind for this strategic area, and one of them is to offer the Awakening to Whiteness experience again about every 18 months. So we have one targeted for June 2020. And there's some interest in developing a partnership with a culturally specific group, as well as a next step of reaching out to the Center for Diversity in the Environment, which is a nonprofit on the north side of town, who helps. They do a lot of training on diversity, equity, and inclusion. They train businesses, they train individuals, and they have leadership programs on that topic and so forth. So they're a pretty impressive group. So we'll be reaching out to them. Do you want to add anything?
The only thing is that I really would like somebody to help with it.
Yeah.
You know, ideas and that kind of thing. That'd be great. Thank you.
One thing I would say, just a tiny little thing, do not use the word picnic if you want to have diversity. If you're African American, that's almost like saying come to the lynching mob.
Picnic?
That's a really, it's like, yeah, that's not a good term to use.
That's good to know. Moving on to goal three, that is building Sangha resources.
Can I say something about goal two before we move on?
Sure.
Just in terms of why, I mean, sharing the Dharma with more people, this is that kind of, you know, tricky area of growth. And I guess I just want to say that we're not interested in growth for growth's sake. I mean, I am fine with the Sangha just the way it is. I mean, there's nothing like, oh man, wouldn't that be cool if we had... Okay, maybe this is cool than that, but... But there's two reasons to grow, and that is, one, like we were saying, like, if you just look at the, you know, income and expenses, there's a certain point at which the Sangha, if you just chart and that we keep growing, which Joan's gonna give us a little report, at a certain point, the income can sustain a teacher, and the rent or mortgage or whatever it is. And so you don't have to grow beyond, I mean, we're 68 members right now, probably between 100 and 120 members, and would actually be sustainable. So, and if you figure, there's a rule of thumb, if you, however many pledging members you have, only half of them are going to ever show up at any one time. So now you're thinking of, like, of 120 members, like, the biggest group that we would ever have here would be 60 people, which is significantly bigger than what we have now, but it's not like we have 5,000 people. But, so there's that kind of, just the financial sustainability aspect of it, but also, like, Washington County is growing. And interest in the Dharma is growing. And, I mean, you know, at a certain point, I guess, you know, if we had to stay here, for instance, it would limit the people, but we don't really want to. We want to be able to make the Dharma available to people, which is why we phrased it sharing the Dharma with more people rather than growing our numbers. So.
Yeah, I never even took that to mean growing our numbers. But it, to me, that's just part of the bodhisattva vow that we're trying to achieve. And one of the ways is through diversity, equity, and inclusion.
And we just keep growing, which we should have actually done. We should have had Joan's report first. But, you know, like, just people do. Yes, we, as you know, new people come through the door all the time. We're not trying to, like, come on. We're not trying to, you know, actively recruit out there, but people just come.
So I'm going to move on to the final goal, which should be brief, and that is building Sangha resources, and resources means money. We completed our annual end-of-year fundraising letter or appeal letter just in the past couple of weeks. And that's something I am personally very proud of, because I know that last year, I think I received mine on December the 30th. And by that time, I think I actually got my check in after the first of the year. But I don't know if you guys know this. I don't know how many of people are not from Portland here. But there's only one other place that I know is like this, and that's Baltimore, Maryland. But this is a hub of nonprofit activity. I don't know if you guys have the feel for that, but I get it. And Baltimore is the same way. Now, how many of you have already gotten from someone else a letter saying, thank you so much for what you gave last year? I mean, my husband, huh? Yeah. My husband got one from the VFW, which we both think is very funny. He's never given to them. He got address labels, a notepad, greeting cards, and a calculator. A solar-powered calculator. We put a bookmark in ours, which I'm especially proud of. I thought it was very pretty. But seriously, my goal was to get that out the first week of November, because the Willamette Week Give Guide comes out the first week of November. Are you guys familiar with what that is? Okay. So if you are on their list, you get an email pretty much every other day. Win a bicycle if you are one of the ones who pledges a donation to nonprofits that support animals. And then there's a nonprofit thing for supporting the environment, and you'll be one lucky member who wins a Leaf, a Nissan Leaf, if you pledge $1,000. I mean, you know, it's just this, we all get caught up in it. And so it was important to me to get our letter out while we're getting caught up, as opposed to after Christmas is over and all the giving is done, and we've pretty much had it. So that was what I wanted to accomplish with that. And the only other, the next step for building Sangha resources is to develop an online tool, pretty much patterned off of the one that Dharma Rain has for estate planning. That is, when you develop a will, having a quick and easy way to indicate in your will that you would like to leave money for Bright Ways In. So, considering how many people are in here who are my age and older, I thought we were missing out, you know? So, that's what we have going on in building Sangha resources, and that... Those are the main things that we've been working on in the strategic plan. This is a brochure that outlines not only our mission and vision, but the high points of the strategic plan. So I'll pass that stack around. And if you would like one, please take one. And that's all I have.
And it's also on the web.
Yes, it's on the website. We have a web page on the strategic plan.
I want to ask a question. You've got a lot going on for you. It's going to grow, I'm sure of that. You're a nonprofit. You have a constitution and bylaws?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. Just asking.
We got it.
Huh?
We've got it.
We got 501c3 status.
Yes, we do. We record all of our minutes. All of our minutes are on the web. Just check them out.
She's our secretary, and she's an excellent. Going to share a little bit about attendance and membership.
And if you happen to have the financial sheet, it has our plot of membership over the years on the back. So it's a dual purchase.
So I'm going to share a little bit of information about members, but first of all, I want to thank you all for making BrightWay what it is today, because BrightWay is its members. So it's through your participation, by attending BrightWay, volunteering in different capacities, and financially supporting BrightWay that it exists. So thank you, all of you. It's great to see 29 people here tonight. That's really awesome. So there's a graph that went around, and if you would look at that, there's only like four copies. Do I have a copy? Oh, yes. Whoever has these, just look at them, show them to your neighbors, and tell me the first thing that comes to your mind.
Going up.
It's going up. Yes.
Yeah.
That's what Yes, we are growing. I mean, it's pretty clear by looking at this, a pretty positive trajectory, which confirms my experience as a member since I've joined. So I'll just go through a few details about the numbers of members. There's currently 67. You said 68. I counted 67. Anyway, let's say 68. Yeah,
well,
60.
Somebody just signed up.
Oh, okay. And 10 of those 68 are people that pledge from afar. The average monthly pledge is $48. And membership, official membership, began in 2012 with 7 members. In 2013, five more people joined, bringing it to 12. In 2014, 10 members joined, making it 22. In 2015, there was no new members. 2016, there were 7 more people, making it 29. In 2017, 12 people joined, making it 41. In 2018, 13 members joined, making it 54. In 2019, so far, 13 people have joined, making it 68 or 67. So, numbers really speak to why the board has developed and is implementing the strategic plan to look ahead, to plan, and have things in place for and be prepared for the growth that is happening. And so now I'll turn it over to Jim. He's going to talk about attendance.
Well, I have a question.
Oh, sure.
What makes a member? Someone just says, I want to be a member, and then start donating.
Basically, yes. I mean, we've thought about it in a way, if you look at, there's a really great book out there called, I think it's like the Seven Principles of Community or something, and in terms of building community as like community being people who have mutual concern for one another, so not just we all happen to belong to the same place, like we're all members of a museum or something, that's not really a community. So how do you make community? So to some extent, it might be worth at some point making membership a more, although honestly, I think a lot of people really do take it seriously before they sign up. Like there's quite a few people that will come for quite a while and they'll be like, they'll even be donating. And they'll be like, and then at some point they'll be like, all right. And so really all technically they do is give us their contact information and make a pledge. Like, I will give X amount. You know, some people give monthly, some people give quarterly, twice a year, once a year. But then we just kind of, you know, they're making a promise in a sense. And so for most people, that seems to be a really significant step. I mean, some of us, I would just be like, all right, I'll join, no big deal. But many people, you know, they'll think so.
And then does that fluctuate? Like, you know, for me, OPB, some years I give it, some years I will give that money somewhere else so that they lose it and someone else gets it. You know, does that fluctuate?
I think it's an ongoing pledge.
But do people commit to an ongoing pledge?
Yeah. So even if it's annual, they're saying, I will do this annually. I mean, sometimes people drop off, but then we'll contact them. And usually that means, like, I don't want to be a member anymore. So it's more involved than that kind of just, you know.
Yeah.
I do.
Can you mention Tim people are remote?
Yeah. They don't attend, but they contribute financially.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. People who like they've moved away and they just keep giving anyway, or people who just, you know, they came for a while and now they don't come anymore, but they still like us.
So I have a question. Keys into this. My beginnings here was online. I started by, you know, getting the newsletter in my email box, and then I started showing up on the online without actually having a camera. Yeah, don't tell me I remember those days. And I'm just curious, has that generated any more membership, Domio, for this congregation, Sangha? Or does that generally translate into the podcast membership side of things?
I don't know.
I came to do the website.
Yes, sir.
Through the website or the online side?
The online meditation.
Online meditation?
No, not the online meditation, the actual website.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my thought was the online meditation with the camera and 7:30 in the morning.
I haven't been that great at advertising, but I do know that quite a growing number of people walk through the door for the first time saying that they found us because of my podcast. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool. So it does seem to
gets the word out.
Not so much the morning meditation, because that's just like, it's an odd time for most people, but we have online meditation in the morning, by the way, Tuesday through Saturday.
See, my dream has been to have the online meditation. Have the online meditation, have attendees from around the world, because I know we get them from Great Britain and Germany and Australia and Ireland, across the United States. On occasion, they come and they go, of course, like every Sangha. But the concept is that we would be drawing, you know, contributions, and for the podcast too, from a much larger population base than we can actually house in here.
Brainstorm that more and more sanghas are doing live streaming of stuff, talks, which means that if you were a come or something, that you could see the talk or you could see the class live, or then it's usually recorded and you can watch it later. So that's the kind of thing that I think might might be interesting and helpful to some of our members who, like, for instance, quite a ways away, might be able to attend.
Mm-hmm. I do both. I'm a member of the podcast community and this one, and I really appreciate the option. So, but maybe we should buy the podcast.
Great idea, Bob. Thanks for that. And let's hang on to that idea. Explore how we would.
Okay, I'll hand this over to Jim.
I just actually had a little bit of information. So we've got, at this point, we basically have 3 days that we do things, which is Tuesdays, where we've got sitting in a discussion, Saturdays, which has just sitting, and Sundays, which has service, sitting, and Dharma talk. And so of those three, the one that has existed the longest has been Tuesday. And that one, over this last year, it's kind of averaged between 20 and 25 people. And kind of the center 22 looks kind of like the most frequent size for it. Saturday with just sitting, we've got 8 to 10 people that attend, and kind of averages around 9. And Sunday actually is being the largest right now. It's ranging, over the year, it's kind of ranged from 17 to 31. And so it kind of looks like it's been averaging around 25. We're kind of seeing a slow uptick with those, but, you know, nothing really dramatic. So
I have a question. Those are the weekly things, but there's also a quarterly retreat and a term student program. And on Saturdays, there's book and
We have not been tracking the tea or the book club, those sorts of things. At least I haven't been. And for the retreat, I don't know if you've been keeping track.
Retreats are pretty small. They're usually about 10. I think maybe if we made them a bigger deal. Ironically, I mean, I could make them really simple, like the cricket bag lunch, and just come, and just, you know, low key. That's, I don't know, maybe more people would come if we, like, rented a facility and cooked lunch or we did something like that.
They're amazing. I always come to the one day. That's the one thing I love to do. So, we'll fight in small.
they work just fine. I mean, Zazen works just fine.
We move on to the last segment and have some discussion. An opportunity to bring up anything that we've already talked about, clarifying questions or comments, brainstorms, like I kind of went ahead a minute ago. See where this goes for a little bit. It's a
question.
25
to 8. Search for a new venue for the reception. Did you initiate that, or did the church camp notify you guys, us guys, that they didn't want us there anymore?
Do you want me to?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So I mean, it's only a small. Well, I don't know.
not everybody in the Sangha, of course, ends up going to our session. The once a year for the last 3 years, we've had a week, 5 day overnight retreat in collaboration with YE Zen Center, which is in Sandy. And so the first 2 years we had at the Fireside Center, but then we outgrew it. And this last year we went to Camp Yamhill, which was a lovely place out in the Coast Range. Lovely, except for the fact that we had to buy all the equipment for a kitchen because their kitchen had nothing in it. And it worked beautifully, but it was, I mean, a couple of us had found the place and it was reasonably priced and everything. But we did find out that, I mean, we should have realized at first, but that it is owned by the Church of Christ, which if you're familiar at all with LGBTQ rights, is like a ultra-conservative, pray the gay away kind of outfit. So we have surprisingly few gay people in our sangha right now. Most Zen sanghas is a sizable portion of the sangha. And I think if I don't know, if I were a LGBTQ person, I would be mortified to go out to something owned by the Church of Christ. I'd be like going out to a place that says women shouldn't speak and, you know, should... Not United Church of Christ. Church of Christ, yes. The United Church of Christ is lovely, and we'd love to go rent a facility that they own. So it's a really hard, I mean, it's a gut-wrenching decision in a way, because it worked, and searching for a new venue is a huge pain in the butt, and, you know, there's the limited availability and all that. But we really feel like morally it's the right thing to do, so... Yeah. Yeah.
Question I'm bringing up for Domino too.
Yeah.
I'm interested because I guess a week ago there was a potluck and only a very handful of us there, and it's really fun. So we were wondering if we still wanted to keep doing those.
Yeah, okay, so I'll repeat the question for the sense of the recording. So yeah, so our potlucks have, the attendance has gone down a little bit, and so oftentimes there's only like 5 or 6 of us, which frankly I'm fine with. I'm happy chatting with 5 or 6 people, but it seems to have disappointed quite a number of people who come in and go, what? So yeah, I think that's something that we can discuss as a sangha, really. And I know that Myoju is, as kind of our sangha steward, has been like, you know, how do we build relationships? How do we make connections? I mean, everybody's so busy, and you know, it's just one thing you're adding to, you know, a long social calendar, and who wants to do this? I don't know. We're really open to, I don't think we'll stop doing the potlucks, but I don't know, maybe there's something else. I mean, we had the summer party at Myoju's house, and then we're going to have a Christmas party at Choketsu's house. So that's at least 2 times of the year, and there was really good turnout for that. So to some extent, yeah?
Holiday party.
Oh, sorry. Holiday party.
I love it.
Yes. Holiday party in mid-December.
What's the date?
14th?
Evening?
Yeah, like 6 p.m. I think. Any thoughts? Building relationships, interacting in other ways?
You know, I've noticed people in and out. You have them signed a guest book, don't you?
Uh-huh.
Do they put their address down?
Only sometimes.
Well, maybe that would, because I don't see them coming back. And maybe send them a note to begin with off that book.
Well, if they put down their email, we put them on our newsletter. So then they get their newsletters anyway. Did you have?
Sure.
I guess this is a question, so I might just have to pass it right back. But I was wondering if there was any plans to start like a day of the month for people who have never been here before, like a first timers night or some kind of event like that to invite new people to come. Because I know when it's your first time and you're just kind of watching everybody else and bowing and you have no idea what's going on, it's a little intimidating.
You writing that down, Joan?
I am.
Well, this is where...
I think this is great. But I need other people to do it. So that's where, like, I have a limited bandwidth and I'm doing everything that I can. And I know a lot of other people are busy too, but I'm beginning to realize, like, to really sustain ourselves and grow, that this needs to become more of a collaborative effort. So there's plenty of people who've been here long enough that could, you know, host such a thing. So if you're out there and you're interested.
I'm wondering if it would be beneficial to think of like a structure for someone who wants to do that they can just step into. That maybe that's something the board can think of, like, how can we structure an activity so if someone has an idea, they can just kind of step into a structure that's already there instead of starting over from scratch. Because, like, if I had an idea, I wouldn't even know where to begin, what leeway I had to do what, or if it was even appropriate. So I think that might be helpful.
Yeah,
if it's already there, that people, oh, I have this idea.
Just as a way to submit some ideas to the powers that be, in a way. Is that what you're talking about?
Actually put feet on the ground and do it. That's what I'm hearing.
Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, I mean, I think we're talking about two different things. One thing is an orientation for people who are not familiar with Soto Zen and our center. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is someone who has an idea and wants to launch
it. Yeah, and then how would you even, so if you guys already have it in place, that if you have an idea, talk to this person, you know, and this is how you mm-hmm. go about, like, what if we had to access funds because our idea costs some money, you know, and just already have that in place so that it's easier for someone who has an idea to just kind of step in and initiate that.
That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. And I, first, when you were talking, Janaka, you had a different great idea. Maybe you're thinking of this too, but... The idea that if there was a job description, so to speak, for this new members night, then if one hadn't done it for a while but was interested in signing up to be that facilitator, you could arrive and there'd be the packet and the,
yeah,
oh yes.
That's what I'm talking about, but for anything.
And your
like,
team.
Okay,
cool.
It helped with the one-day retreat. Like, how would I even know what it is that needs to be done and how I can
yeah.
submit that? So just, you know, some kind of, like, overview work that needs to be done first so that's easier for people to step in.
It would be great if that was also on the website, so not just the just-in-time last minute when you walk the door, how to do it. So what am I getting myself into? Awesome.
All right, who's going to do all that?
Yeah, it sounds to me like you've got kind of two things going on here. One is...
If the Sangha or the board decides we want a day, a newcomer's day, and they may have to go and create their vision of that and then put it out to the Sangha and say, we need someone interested in picking this up. So that's one thing. That's creating a structure for something that the board desires or the Sangha desires. The other aspect of it is that I've got an idea. How do I go about doing that? And so I think that's what you're talking about with structure. I think it'd be great to do a once-a-month course for 6 months on Buddhist history. How do you go about doing that? And that's, I think, part of the process is if you have an idea, how do you go about engaging the Sangha and the board and Daimyo in doing that?
Borrowing the space, but so that's integrated into the rest of the song. I've said too much already.
Yeah, I think more certainly more formality is in our future. In the meantime, essentially, you know, if you have ideas, you look at our mission and vision and you see, does it fit? If it's not specifically Zen or Buddhist, then maybe it'll have a harder time fitting in. It might. But then essentially, you know, you can talk to me about ideas in kind of an informal way, and then it would probably be at this point a proposition that we send to the board, or maybe discuss in the Teachers Advisory Council meeting in a more open and informal way about, is this something that fits? How do we approach it? But, yeah.
I think there was another idea back here, Nikki.
I was just going to ask, briefly. I know, like, Domio, you just said that obviously you have very limited time and we appreciate all that you do. It just occurred to me, I'm sure it's been brought up before, but as the Sangha grows, it's really beneficial to have that extra Thursday night, for example, like we used to, and perhaps maybe, you know, the senior Sangha members could run that, or you'd figure out, you know, a piece of technology that kind of helps or organize that in such a way where it's not such an effort to kind of keep that running. Just to throw that out there. I mean, I know personally there's a lot of things I just never go to anymore on Tuesdays because that's my night to come here, and it'd be great to be able to just have an extra weeknight as an option. So.
I guess maybe I've been here 2.5 years, maybe a little more. And I have the first year lots of ideas of cool things to do. And I was sitting here thinking about the offering a class. We'd almost need an education coordinator, you know, in order to figure out which nights you get and how you advertise it and that kind of stuff. So some of these ideas are really great, but I think we have to be careful that we're not adding something to Domio or to the board that they haven't already put on the strategic plan, because it may not work. On the other hand, raising money ideas made me think, we have space to rent, you know. I don't know all the details of whether that works or not, but if we were trying to make money, there's more ways to make money than, you know, you could brainstorm how many different ways you could make additional money. And I also thought always that I should put something in the donation box when I come for a retreat. Even though I give a monthly amount, it doesn't seem like I necessarily think it should cover every single thing. So there are lots of ways that we haven't really thought through the money thing, but if we're trying to raise money, the new things ought to pay. That was my.
Well, and I would say, you know, in terms of like teaching stuff, there's also a consideration, just throwing this out there, as, you know, if you imagine you're somebody walking through this door, you don't know the difference between coming on a Tuesday night and coming on a Thursday when so-and-so decided to offer something, you know. So it's like, you know, that's why usually there is some level of like mentorship. So when I ask somebody to lead a discussion, it's usually a lay disciple or somebody who's been a, you know, a member for a long time and has kind of become familiar with our culture and stuff like that. So there's a certain kind of like, in terms of that, like Dharmarine has a really elaborate structure for like instructors and what do you call a teacher, and you have to have, you know, gone through their seminary program and all that to teach a class. And I don't know, we're a long way from that kind of formality, but in other things, I guess, I mean, what I'm really longing for are people who really feel like taking responsibility for something, who really feel like, I mean, like last year, Frankie took responsibility for our fundraiser. You know, that is and I think she enjoyed it. I think the people who did it enjoy it. We're not sure we're going to do that every year. That's a matter of open discussion. But that's the kind of project that somebody can take on, or somebody exploring the possibility of, you know, helping to coordinate other groups using our space, which, you know, I've basically told the board, like, unless somebody else can organize it, I just can't. I mean, it takes organization, it takes communication, it takes, you know, how are they going to get in the building, who's going to be the contact person, blah, blah, blah. So that's the kind of thing, like, we need you. If you have the time or inclination, and I don't, I mean, if you think about we have the book group, we have the poetry group, we have the children's program. So these are things that people like, you know, this was something that really spoke to them. So it's not just a big drag for them to do it. It's something that they really want to offer.
I'm always thinking about ways to contribute, and I'm really cautious about how many times I want to drive because it's a distance for me. But so I'm looking for the little slots, but I was thinking about the orientation that you do from 9 to 9:30 on Sundays. If I had a packet and some training and some experience, I would be willing to try something like that once you thought I was qualified. And I could do that by just coming a half an hour earlier. You know, I mean, it means that it would be one trip instead of two trips. And for me, that's sort of like a consideration. So there may be small ways that, without coming up with my own idea, I could fit into a slot, but as an experienced novice or something along those lines, that could fill in someplace. And I think those are definitely opportunities for taking some of the burden off of people who've already signed up and are doing leadership to give someone like me enough orientation to be able to fill in for something that I haven't done here yet before.
I know I'm really attached to doing the intros, mm-hmm. because, I mean, think about it. If you first show up at a Zen Center and, like, it's the teacher themselves who sit down with you and say hi and teach you how to meditate. I don't know. That's kind of a cool thing. But on the other hand, you know, just fairly recently we saw a Zen Center in Portland disintegrate because essentially they lost their teacher. So over time, I got to be thinking about that. And I mean, it's difficult because it's all like, it all is more work. But I mean, there's a lot of you that should be officially trained to teach meditation. I mean, if you've been here for years, you probably should be able to teach meditation in a way that's like, you know, that's recognizably like our lineage approach. So that's, I don't know. I mean, you can keep nudging me. That helps.
It was more an example of something that already exists.
If you're somebody who's interested in that, I mean, you know, that helps. I'll only do as much as I can do, but if there's interest expressed, I will.
I think it should be one of the teachers, really. But if someone comes in and asks questions, we ought to be able to.
Well, I think somebody should really, like, somebody who feels like taking responsibility for this, because this is definitely not the first time this idea of an intro class, you know, a two-hour workshop maybe on a Saturday that happens every month or every other month or something like that. You know, that would, if somebody's interested in kind of taking the point on coordinating that, not doing it alone, but let me know.
Can I ask you a question about that?
Yeah.
I didn't realize you were using Meetup, and that's really kind of an interesting angle because you can set like a $5 price tag on that, which I think is kind of appropriate for some of these events because that way you don't get just a whole bunch of people who are maybe half serious or not serious or they just don't show up at all. So if you're interested in something like that, that might actually market and run itself just because you put it out there in Portland. I mean, I bet you'll get a lot of people to show up for that.
Yeah. I used to do intro workshops. Intro to Meditation, 2 hour, and I think I did put it on Meetup sometimes, and I mean, I might have just spent the time. It was years ago. It was like 4 or 5 years ago, probably. And I'd get like 5 people, and then most of them never came back. But, I mean, I'm not saying that might not be the case anymore. Besides, I also think it could be something that was inviting to people, but also saying, you know, somebody, maybe you have started to come, but you still might want to come to this kind of orientation thing. So it would might be a wider audience than I was reaching.
Do you take people through a process of ordination? That's, you know, you wear the black cushion on your head.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we do Jukai once a year.
And some of you are sharing, like, around the Eightfold Path. You assign them, and those are people who have been ordained.
Well,
what's the word for that?
When you take Jukai, we call it taking Jukai.
Maybe those
the people who formally become Buddhist.
So that would be an option. The people who have done that would be invited to teach.
Domio does invite us to teach.
Hmm?
During the precepts, Domio does invite us to teach.
Yeah, when we do the precept classes once a year, then we've started to have seniors. Yeah, we started to have senior students jump in for that, which has been really cool.
Just thinking about the time, and you know, we got some juices flowing here, and some brainstorming, and yet people may want to also move on to the next part of their evening. So what is your pleasure? Do we want to try and wrap up in the next 5 minutes and end at 8, or what would the group like? Okay. Any objections to ending at 8? Hearing none, we're going to end at 8. Okay, so we have five minutes for a few more bright ideas or questions.
How are we organizing the cleanup plates, and is there a wash tub?
I'll just take the
bowl.
You put them in tubs, and I'll just take the bowl and put them in the dishwasher.
But we do have a washing station set up for cups.
Richard,
we do have a washing station set up for cups per usual. But
they are?
Plate, yeah.
Oh, well, this is a regular Tuesday night. So whatever you guys want to do.
Well, we...
You want to wash the plates here? That's
you
great.
Can take the plates.
No, I'm saying we have a washing station set up for cups. And you can take the plates.
Okay.
And get
a lavish.
I got it.
Does that answer your question, Janelle? They just worked that out right there. Okay. Other questions? Ruth Ann?
I just wanted to say briefly, I think a lot of times people come to, for lack of a better term, place, Buddhist or, sorry,
people come with a friend, and I personally wanted to meet Domio, but I wanted to just see the Sangha, the Sunday in action. I didn't want to be singled out as possibly new by just, it's good to meet other new people, but I thought, this is Buddhist. I want to blend in. I don't want to stick out. And so Jill was new, and she invited me, and we just, you know, kind of, that's what drew me, was that a good friend invited me, and I always wanted to be here, so... I wouldn't have come just for newbies. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
You know, if each one of us takes responsibility to clean this up, it'll be done in 5 minutes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye.